Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight in Cleveland. We all know the series. 3-0 Golden State. I don't think anybody has any confidence that Cleveland's going to win tonight, let alone push this to 6 or 7 or actually storm back and find a way to perform history here.
What
That's not going to happen.
What is Jerry's percentage? This could go 6.
5%.
Really?
Less.
Yeah, I think Golden State romps tonight. I think they roll tonight. Let's head to Cleveland now to tee up the game and start looking ahead to a lot of different stories in the offseason. Here's ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst. How you doing, Brian?
I'm okay.
Brian, do you think the biggest sign that this series is going to end tonight is LeBron complimenting the opposition? Usually great athletes like himself or Tiger Woods, or they refuse to acknowledge the greatness of the opponent, and they all seem to be doing that the last 24 hours.
No, he did that last year after they were down 3-0 and they won game 4. It'll just come down to whether the Cavs make three-pointers or not. They haven't made three-pointers for 3 weeks. They haven't made three-pointers since they played the Raptors, to be honest with you. They've been terrible ever since, and so that's a major factor for them. That's way more important than any compliment they may or may not have given.
We had this conversation earlier in the week about how Larry Nance Jr. probably loves that he's finally gotten to an NBA Finals, and Jordan Clarkson, and guys that have never been there before, even if they lose, when they lose, they're still going to be able to have that story. I can't picture LeBron appreciating being in the Finals. I mean, you know him well. Does he have any appreciation for this run if they lose?
No, but I have to say that one of the things that he made an emphasis on this season was to get the most that he could out of it, because he knew that they were behind the eight ball a little bit when Kyrie Irving got traded. He knew it was going to be a tough, difficult road, especially when the Isaiah Thomas trade didn't end up working out. He knew they were kind of in trouble. And so I do think he made it a goal to get the most out of it. He said this on 3 or 4 occasions. And maybe they achieved that. Maybe this is as far as they were going to go. Maybe this is for them. Maybe this is winning a championship. I know you don't get a ring and you don't get a banner, but every team has a different ceiling. I think they're there. I think the frustration for them is that they felt like they could have won game 1 and under certain circumstances could have won game 3. And so they feel like it's possible they could be up 2-1 in the series. I don't see it that way. But I think this team has achieved everything they could ever have dreamed of. And I think it's a successful season. Nobody will do it that way, because the world has decided that it's championship or bust. And if you don't win a championship, you're a bum. I don't view it that way. I think it's been a phenomenal season and maybe the greatest playoff run of his career.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, is there a team in the NBA outside of Cleveland where if you placed LeBron on that team as it's currently constructed, that you believe they would be favored to beat Golden State?
There are 3 or 4, you know, Boston, Philadelphia, Houston, you know, Utah would be right there. Toronto would be right there. You know, he's a pretty gigantic difference maker. But the NBA has a salary cap, and the NBA has various rules that make team building hard. It's one of the reasons why the Warriors have been phenomenal. They had they had smart management, but they had an incredible set of circumstances, some of which were completely out of their control that fell into place for them, where they were able to build this phenomenal team. And, you know, to build a dynasty, you have to have luck. And the Warriors have had luck, and they've taken advantage of it, and they have a dynasty. It's not going to be something that LeBron's going to easily be overcome. There is not an option for him in free agency that is a guaranteed fix, a guaranteed cinch. It's going to be a difficult decision for him.
So you just mentioned free agency. How big of a circus? They lose tonight. This is just going to be talked about every day. What's he doing? Where is he going? How do you see? What do you see happening here in the coming days afterwards?
It won't be a circus for him. It'll be a circus for various teams. It'll be a circus for fans. You know, he's gone through this before. He'll have a pretty good plan in place, and he'll put it in place. You know, he'll have a viewpoint. The thing about it is, there's nothing out there, at least right now, and it's really important to say right now, because the NBA changes every day, sometimes very radically. We've seen that repeatedly over the last 5 years. As of right now, there is no scenario out there, any team that is a perfect fit for him. He's going to have to compromise either on what his family wants or location, or maybe being at the top end championship level team. It's going to be the most personal free agency he's had, because he's going to have to give something up. Now, knowing him like I do, I suspect that he's going to put winning first. And because of that, I would say that nothing is off the table. Anybody who tells you something is impossible, I would say I would not rule it out, because I think he feels like he's got a blank check at this point. He doesn't have to, he doesn't owe anything to anybody. He doesn't care about what anybody says about him. He'll do what he, what I think will make him happy. And I do think that's going to be focused on winning first.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Game 4 NBA Finals tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Putting LeBron aside, because obviously once the offseason begins, it'll be the LeBron show. Everyone will be fascinated with that decision. But as we also know in the NBA, once it's time for the offseason, all hell breaks loose. So outside of LeBron, when you start to focus on the offseason, where's your focus at? Like, where's the second item for you that you think could be the most intriguing story of the offseason?
Well, I think Paul George is going to be very interesting. We still have some teams that could do something at the draft. The draft always sets the agenda for the offseason, because we see big trades at the draft every year. Last year, as an example, we saw Jimmy Butler get traded to Minnesota on draft night. And shortly thereafter, we had a Kyrie Irving trade demand. And we almost saw Paul George get traded to the Cavs on draft night, you know, near misses and stuff like that. So really, July 1st, you have to have, I think it's June 26th. Before you have July 1st, you have to have June 26th. So this is also a draft that has not only some potentially difference-making players in it, but potentially some teams in the top seven or eight, who may be interested in dealing their pick. So, I mean, we really have to see how everything falls into place. You know, we'll know a lot more. You know, for example, just to bring it to Toronto, a year ago today, Kyle Lowry probably had four or five options of where to go in free agency. The Raptors were going to have a real battle on their hands. Then, like, five things happened, closed a whole bunch of windows, and all of a sudden he had no options. It was Toronto or take a much less contract elsewhere. Things change every day, and we're going to be in an era, in a section of the NBA schedule where, or the calendar, where we're going to see things change very rapidly. Sitting here today and telling you what I think is going to happen is foolhardy, because it's really more a matter of reading and reacting and being nimble and reacting to opportunities that arise that is going to set the good teams apart from the average ones.
Well, and the Raptors are in a bit of a strange position because they still don't have a coach. And Ujiri, we believe he's going to announce someone at some point soon. And the belief is it's more than likely a guy in-house, probably Nick Nurse in the driver's seat right now. But the word is out there. I mean, guys like yourself and Wojnarowski and others have been reporting that pretty much everyone is available if you call and you're willing to pay a price. But Ujiri, I mean, he made some big moves when he first got here, but they were obvious moves. And moves that didn't even break the way he thought they would. He was trading Rudy Gay with the intention of blowing it up, and they got better. You know, he traded Bargnani because the Knicks are the Knicks. But he hasn't done much since. Do you sense that Ujiri has it in him to be the aggressor, or is he getting the word out so that other people will start calling him, and then he can kind of sit back and make that decision?
Well, I do think Nick Nurse has the inside track, but I do know that they had a second interview with Messina yesterday. So he's right there in the running. I think that it's telling that he must have performed pretty well in the first interview. So that lease is on Masai's mind. You know, I think that the Raptors are potentially in great positions, because if LeBron leaves Cleveland and elects to go west, they get bumped up. The Cavs, I think, would trigger a rebuild, and the Raptors all of a sudden have a new little flicker of life in front of them. And so, you know, I think they're going to, again, have to be nimble and react. I don't think that they are in a tremendous position to add a star, but there's a lot of guys on their roster who are desirable, and a lot of guys on their, you know, who are really favorable contracts. So if they wanted to cobble together a couple of players and a draft pick or two, they could really maybe make a move that could add a nice piece if they wanted to go that direction. Now, if Boston, you know, makes a major move, you know, or even gets, you know, you can say it's put, or Philadelphia makes a major move, then the Raptors may even retrofit a little bit and maybe look to adjust with their roster. But, you know, there's scenarios that exist where Toronto could come out of this in an improved position, or they could come out of it in a weakened position. It just depends on how things go. I think they're kind of locked into the top end of their roster at this point, but you never know. Things are always changing, like I said.
How many dummy Twitter accounts do you have working right now?
zero. I don't believe in it. I believe in transparency.
Good man.
What is the reaction? What's the reaction around the league about the Colangelo situation?
Well, he didn't get due process, which is kind of unfair to him. Because if this had happened another time, he may have been able to figure out a way to do this. But I don't think anybody in the league believes that those were not his thoughts. And so he was compromised. Fair or not, they lost his job, he was compromised. And it's hard to be compromised as a general manager. It's impossible when you are facing a huge offseason like they are. He just couldn't survive it. His career is now kind of in danger, because some people in the league, fair or not, believe he only got the job because of his father. And now this has happened. So he's, to have your career threatened by a situation like this has to be crushing to him. It's really unfortunate, but the NBA, as I will tell you, as I've learned many times, the NBA will move on and not care.
Yep, they most certainly will. I mean, they got a game tonight. We'll be focused on that. Enjoy it in Cleveland. Thank you for doing this, Brian.
Take care.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Probably the quickest ins and outs of any of our guests.
I know.
How you doing, Brian?
Good.
Okay.
I thought we were in for one.
What'd you think of LeBron comp? Nah, I did it last year.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
That was it for you.
He's a great guest, though.
Yeah,
man. He's informed.
I after that.
Very.
I stopped listening to our own interview.
No, he was good. And
very
listen,
good.
As for the Raps, I mean, it sounds like Nick Nurse is the leader in the clubhouse for being the new coach.
Then name him.
I guess you're not in a rush because Detroit, it sounds like it's Casey and nobody else.
If it's over tonight, do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, but Masai, again, he's got the word is out there. He's leaking word to whoever's willing to listen that you can call about anybody and everyone's on the table, but I'll believe that when I see it.
No kidding.
Because, great, Serge Ibaka's on the table. Who do you think is calling you for that contract and that kind of performance based on what we've seen?
Ice Cube.
Maybe the Big Three League is looking for Serge Ibaka.
I'm teasing, but...
But, yeah, outside of that, I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating offseason in the NBA. And I think the Raptors, I think they have to come back with a slightly different roster at the very least. You've got to adjust something, not just the head coach.